Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
The moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-o! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Technology Truths, brought to you by GEICO.
Technology Truths.
Truth. Teenagers can communicate entirely in emojis.
How was the birthday party? Pizza slice, kitten, soccer ball, pineapple?
Truth. It's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at GEICO.com.
What are you talking about? Paperclip, shoulder shrug, high five, wizard hat? What?
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Prototype. I'm Jamie Johnson, and I'm joined by my faithful co-host, Mike the Birdman Dodd. Say hi, Mike.
Hi.
It's so good to have you back with your not saying hi. Also, we're joined by Cameron again. Woo, Cameron.
Hi.
Yeah, exactly. We are, yeah, because now this show is a threesome. A dirty, dirty threesome. Hello.
A dirty one indeed.
Yes, folks, we are back after an unexpected hiatus, but hey, we're now that we have three people on the team, it's a lot easier to get shows out, so friggin' A.
The only reason we didn't get one last week was you were busy and I was doing a swap meet, so it was like, we're not going to make Cameron do one on his own, because that wouldn't
make...
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah. I don't think I'm that interesting yet.
But say that would just be damned awkward. But yes, guys, we are back. A lot has happened in the video game industry over the last little bit. Nintendo has confirmed that the NX is coming out in March of next year to mild surprise, I guess, considering the Wii U port of The Legend of Zelda is getting pushed back. Here, no one's ring of surprise there. Let me see. A lot of video games are coming out in the next little bit. As of this recording today, we have Battleborn's coming out, Doom's coming out, and then, like, I think the week after next, Overwatch is coming out. There's just been a lot of stuff, surprisingly. But we're not here to talk about those games here. Today, we're actually here to talk about one of my all-time favorite franchises. I found my love again for
this
franchise.
As of the last 2 years.
Last 2 years. Thank you, AW. We're talking about Cock-a-Doodle, Call of Duty, because the reveal trailer for Infinite Warfare has just come out, along with confirmation of Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered, available only in the Legacy Edition of the game for Xbox One, PS4, and the PC. The older
generation. You know that's bullshit. They're going to release it on its own sometime.
My guess,
they like money.
Yeah, they probably will, but I can't see it going for anything less than like $30, if anything. So I guess, where do we start this conversation? Like, basically, I guess...
Would start with that Infinite Warfare trailer.
Yeah, so Infinite Warfare, this is the one done by Infinity Ward for this year, 2016, November 4th is when I think this game comes out. So it basically sets up the idea that there's Earth, and there's something called the Colony Defense Force or something, and they may be invading Earth or something like
Gundam.
That.
Gundam!
Yeah, it has a Gundam / Battlestar Galactica kind of feel to it, and they say...
Like, oh, hey... Humans split off and made colonies, and now they're fighting with each other. Literally the concept of almost every Gundam show.
Yeah, I totally kind of had that kind of vibe. That's, I was waiting for like the Duchy of Zeon to show up. But yeah, it's sort of like us versus them. They are promising more boots on the ground combat, But when you look at the trailer itself, you do see there is some advanced movement. There's definitely like kind of thruster packs or some kind of grav boots or something like that. I don't think it'll be as insane as, say, Advanced Warfare's exosuits, and maybe more along the lines of Black Ops 3's kind of wall running thing. So
you mean there aren't going to be people flying all over the map?
See, I like that person. I love the advanced movement in these games because I was terrible at boots on the ground. Yet you allow me to run around on the air or in the walls, I'm good to go. My love affair with Call of Duty kind of started with Advanced Warfare. I picked up this game because, well, no way. It got sent to me by Activision when the game came out, and I'm thinking, all right, I'll give this a try. Normally, I've been very turned off by the Call of Duty franchise. Like, I like the campaigns for the most part, but the multiplayer never really grabbed me. And Ghosts burned me so bad.
Mm-hmm.
So going into Advanced Warfare, had no expectations. Utterly loved it. Loved the campaign. Kevin Spacey, I think, the best bad guy that series has ever known, outside of maybe Lance Henriksen's character from Modern Warfare 2, I want to say. And I just really, really got into it. I mean, I've spent so much money on supply drops. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show.
You would buy those. Jesus.
Oh my God. Oh, man. My armory for Advanced Warfare is so good.
You're the reason that DLC exists.
But my Black Ops one, not so much. And I'll talk about that. Because there is a movement right now calling for Black Market Blackout, which is a movement within the Call of Duty community to try and get Treyarch to pay attention to us. Namely, I think the head guy's there named David Vondahar, to try and adjust rates for how people get weapons, but we'll talk about that a little bit kind of later on. So Advanced Warfare, like I said, really kind of caught my attention. It's the first campaign I really kind of gave a shit about outside of Modern Warfare 2 and probably Black Ops 1. And then there was the Exo Zombies with... It had... I'm trying to think. It had John Malkovich in it, John Bernthal, Bill Paxton, and I can't remember... Rose McGowan, I think, was the other woman in it, and the zombies thing, kind of setting it up as a meta game sort of thing, or meta plot that happens after Advanced Warfare, kind of, where they talk about the biological weapon, and it creates zombies and shit, and it was really weird, because the Call of Duty zombies things are known for hiding Easter eggs to how you have to solve each map to move forward and whatnot, so... I really kind of fell into it. I kind of went balls to the wall with it. I was one of the few people in Canada to get the Juggernaut edition for Call of Duty Black Ops 3. I think I was only one of 500 people to get it.
Jesus.
Yeah, like literally I had Blair, who is my wife, for those of you that...
How much did that one cost?
$330.
Ugh.
That is significant.
But it's like 7 games, Mike.
Well, it was mostly trade credits, so I think the game at the end of the day cost me $25. Maybe, I think. But I got a working fridge out of it, so I'm rather happy for that. And I'll talk about the collector's editions, because that's another reason why I like the Call of Duty franchise, because I buy all the prestige editions. But anyway, so let's go to Cameron. What happens with you in the Call of Duty franchise?
Well, I'd say that I probably gave up on it entirely about, I'd say, give or take, Modern Warfare 3. I just don't really like the recycled sort of aspect of Call of Duty, and I think they get a lot of flack for that. I do respect the fact that they've sort of expanded their horizons a little bit. The only Call of Duty game that I think I'll probably ever purchase again would be World at War 2. That's about it for me on Call of Duty. I'm not a huge fan of it personally. I can see why people like it. I can see why it's popular in the esports realm of things. But as far as being a fan goes, I can't say I really am.
Jamie?
Well, most people know what my opinion is of it on this show. The Call of Duty franchise... I mean, honestly, most shooters for the console, like people that consider them a shooter gamer, usually started with one of the Call of Duties. It's been around for just so long now. I don't even remember when the first one started. I think it was like 2003, right?
I think so, yeah.
For the first Call of Duty. So yeah, it's been around for 13 years now. And kind of like Cameron, I've kind of fallen out of it. Not completely for me, because I mean, I played all of the Call of Duties all the way up to about Modern Warfare 2 was like the last one I was super heavy into, playing the multiplayer constantly. After that, I kind of just either played it at friends' houses, like Advanced Warfare. I came over to your place, you handed me the controller, and we're like, kill everybody. That was like as you were starting to get into the series again. And I was just like, okay. And, you know, in 5 minutes, I could just murder everyone after a little bit of practice, because it's the same game. It's always been the same game. It always will be the same core game, which is the same with all shooters, right? Pick up Gears of War, as long as they haven't changed the formula too much, like Judgment, it's going to feel like a Gears of War game. You're going to be able to just pick it up and keep going, right?
I think they're a little bit weary of changing the formula too much.
Yeah, and we've talked about this in the past, how part of their team even split off and went and made Titanfall because they wanted to change the formula. And, you know, all the people backing them with the money said, no, this makes money, don't change it. Like, and when you're a creative designer, you want change, you want to try new things. That's kind of what you are as a game developer. You want to make new and exciting things. So Call of Duty has, for a lot of gamers, gotten stagnant over the years. So kind of like me and Cameron. But again, it's also that formula that most people know, because you can just jump back into it at any time, and love, because it's been around for so long and it's refined all of the little things that we like about shooters. It's just buying it every single year, not exactly what I want to do.
Yeah. Call of Duty 2K16, Call of Duty 2K17. That's what I call them.
Yeah, like, I mean, honestly, they could just name it like that. Like, the newest one, Infinite Warfare. It's like, okay, well, you had Advanced Warfare, you had Modern Warfare, now you're calling it Infinite Warfare. Like, honestly, I would not be against them just being Call of Duty 2016. Call of Duty 2016.
I mean, it's justified. It would still sell.
It would honestly still sell. I'm sure people would be like, well, that's kind of weird, but that's all it really is.
Well,
but I must buy.
I would argue against that in the fact that Call of Duty really did change the way that a lot of the shooters are now interpreted. Because if you go back in the day, look at games like Medal of Honor, stuff like that. And that's what Call of Duty was developed as, to sort of be the Medal of Honor killer, so to speak. Back then, it was all corridors. You'd clear an area of enemies and move forward. With Call of Duty, you started getting into more scripted events, stuff like that. You'd have these big action kind of set pieces. And then you would see how that would carry over into other games, like, say, Battlefield, stuff like that, things started to get a little bit more.
I'm not arguing that it didn't do things for the industry. I'm saying it stopped really changing the formula that much after, like, Modern Warfare 2. It was kind of there. Like, we've gotten a point in gaming where changing the formula drastically really doesn't happen with series that like follow a path. And Call of Duty is a series that comes out every single year. So if you look at, say, Modern Warfare 2 versus Infinite Warfare or even Advanced Warfare, yeah, there's a big gap there. But if you go from Black Ops 2 to Black Ops 1, you could really find very, like, maybe two or three things that they changed, right? Like, it's between 1 year, you can't really change, like, add in too much.
And even in certain cutscene sequences, there's moments in some of the newer iterations of the game where it's just directly ripped off from past versions, except with the new characters implemented. It's just really strange that they even got away with that.
Oh, yeah. I saw a YouTube video where they actually put side by side the certain scenes from the Call of Duty series. And they're like, it's almost like they used the same skeletal models to do the animation.
Yeah,
the
that's
exact same. Like, it was like when I saw that, because someone pointed it out to me and I was like, okay, Call of Duty is pretty similar, but there's no way that they actually like copied themselves. And the scenes were so close that it was like, it was almost scary. Yeah, like, it was almost scary that it was that close. Anybody can, like, I can't remember what I typed to look it up, but should be something like Call of Duty, well, even just Call of Duty scenes. You'll find it eventually. But it's one of those things that I, like, I have respect for the Call of Duty series. I always have. I mean, it's one of my roots of shooter games. It's just, it's become the point where I will only really play every third iteration that comes out because yeah. I don't want to overindulge, basically. It's like
that way you're like assured to have some semblance of innovation.
Yeah. Like, Mike, think if somebody gave you a pie.
Okay.
You're allowed to have a piece of pie once a week or something.
Okay.
You know, that day that you get that pie is really special, right?
Yeah.
But what if they gave you a pie every single day? You'd probably get sick of that pie, right?
Pie's
really good.
Depends on the pie.
let's say you were only allowed to eat pie for the rest of your life because of it.
Well, then I'm dead.
I'm saying, like, you know, just the kind of the idea. It's like, okay, well, I have it every now and then. It's really special. But if you get it just fucking fed to you constantly and it really doesn't change much, like they don't change the ingredients in the pie, like it's always apple pie, then you're going to get fucking bored. That's basically what me and Cameron are saying. We have a respect for pie. Pie is great, but I would like to try a new flavor soon.
Fair enough. I mean, like with me, I see the way that Call of Duty has added a lot to the shooter franchise, and I will admit there is a lot of fatigue with it because of that yearly cycle going between you get a year and a half to work on this or 2 years, because it always went between Infinity Ward, Treyarch, and now Sledgehammer Games because they did Advanced Warfare.
I found Advanced Warfare had the most change compared like to the series, which I think comes from them being a newer company coming into Call of Duty, right?
Well, yeah.
So it's a third company, and they're like, we have something to prove.
Well, yeah, because if you look at other games that have advanced kind of movement, when this came out, you had Titanfall and you had Halo as being games that had more advanced move. With Titanfall, you could run on walls, you could do a lot more vertical movement. With Halo, moving around the map has never been an issue. You're never really slow. You've got vehicles. You do have options to move around. With Call of Duty, it's always been boots on the ground, and with Advanced Warfare, we started to get the exosuits, and then eventually later on we get the kind of grappling glove, which should be its own kind of playlist in Advanced Warfare, further kind of playing up the advanced kind of movement. And Activision was really kind of leery of changing the formula, because if you go back in time in the mid-2000s, everybody was doing World War II shooters to the point where it was kind of a cliche. And then when Call of Duty took the risk to do modern warfare, things changed, because there weren't that many shooters set in the modern day, which I actually found to be really, really, really surprising. In fact, during the development for World at War, the only reason Modern Warfare even got greenlit is they're like, well, let's give it a shot. If it doesn't work out, we always have World War II to fall kind of back on. There was actually even talk they're going to go back and change World at War into a modern setting, but at that point they hadn't been too far along in the process to kind of change anything. So as the series kind of moved forward, it did get... I think the series was for its boots on the ground combat, Infinity Ward, I think, did their best work with Modern Warfare 2. I hated Modern Warfare 3 from a campaign standpoint. Yeah. I don't remember playing much of the multiplayer, if any, at all. Then
it was decent, but everybody basically was like, no, let's go back to Black Ops. They were trading in their Warfare 3s and all that. So.
Well, yeah, because Black Ops, the Treyarch specifically knows how to make a good balanced multiplayer game. In fact, that's one of the things with Call of Duty. They have one team hardcore working on the campaign and another team hardcore working on the multiplayer. So you're not splitting up team kind of resources there. So you know exactly what you're going to get, a good balanced game. And one of the cool things is the developers are always tweaking things in the background. In fact, my Twitter, I follow the guys from Sledgehammer Games, I follow the guys from Infinity Ward, and I follow the people from Treyarch. So when there's a patch note, I know exactly what has changed. Stuff like that, and I'm always keeping on top of that, because there were guns in Black Ops 2 that could melt you until they got nerfed. You would see gun balancing in other games like Halo, but you didn't see it as often.
Well, it's kind of the meta changes. Like, with the Call of Duty series, their meta changes so quickly just because everything's fine-tuned, because there isn't things like shields and stuff that Halo has. Like, Halo has, if you think of it like an RPG standpoint, so a boss has 1,000 health and your guns are only doing, say, like 10 damage and everything, it's a lot easier to balance this gun does 10 damage, this gun does 15 damage, because the boss takes X amount of time to kill. In a shooter, it's the same kind of idea, where Halo has this larger health pool to deal with how much damage guns do, so it's easier to balance it. When it comes to Call of Duty or Battlefield, games where you die in 1 to 2 bullets, right? It's harder to figure it out because it's based on the rate of fire of guns, the range of them, all that. Like, it's a lot harder to fine-tune that because you don't have a larger health pool to actually deal with, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that is a credit to Call of Duty. They have tried to balance their multiplayer and be competitive, because they're one of the few shooters that are in the competitive esports. Like, even Halo, I haven't been keeping up with Halo 5. I know they've been trying to be in esports, but I don't think they're anywhere near where Call of Duty is right now, right?
No, yeah. They don't have an Optic-esque sort of team for Halo.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, yeah, like, I can't think of any professional Halo teams at all, actually. Yet I,
like, I know Optic has one, but they didn't do too hot, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, like, as for Call of Duty, I can name teams from different regions. That's how much I'm into the, like, kind of esports scene for Halo. Or not Halo, for Call of Duty. One of the things I think that Call of Duty did right is they tried to make the campaign mean a little bit more. And I think a lot of people kind of ignored that in favor of the multiplayer. Because I think, like, for example, Black Ops 1 and 2 have a fantastic storyline.
Like, yeah, especially Black Ops 1. Yeah, I thought it was fantastic as well. It was so, like, delusional and creepy and everything.
Yeah, it was weird. And even the zombie stuff, which was just meant as a gag in World of War, it's developed its own plot, its own meta world, and it's really, really damned interesting. And the fact that they always drag in celebrities is really, really interesting. There are people who beg to be part of the Call of Duty Zombies experience. I remember I was so thrilled last year when Bruce Campbell became part of the Exo Zombies storyline, because I thought that was just super cool. And before, I think it was Black Ops 2 had, like, Buffy the Vampire Slayer fighting George Romero and Machete, Danny Trejo. And even before that, we had Call of Duty presidential zombies. We were fighting with JFK and Fidel Castro. God, that was weird.
The thing with the Call of Duty series, and we saw this, what was it? Was it Ghosts that changed it to, like, aliens?
Yeah, that was really stupid.
Extinction, so, yeah.
They learned there that people really like, you know, taking a break from the regular multiplayer end game, or even some people only play the zombies mode. So when they changed it over to aliens, people were pissed. I believe I was working at EB around the time that game came out. I can't remember, though. But I remember reports of people just trading that game back in and trying to rebuy Black Ops, Black Ops 2, etc. Because they just wanted to play zombies. They were like, this game has aliens. Who gives a shit? They're, like, so many people were angry about that. It's almost got a cult following. Like, they could almost release just a zombies game every year and people would buy that too.
The only thing that the only iteration of the zombies mode that I liked was the first initial Call of Duty 5. I think it was, I'm not even going to try to pronounce what the map was called. It was like the first initial map that you got. I just felt like as time went on, like it became progressively like more confusing and more expansive to the point where I like wasn't even really enjoying myself personally.
Well, yeah, there was the one where, well, like dog, you might remember.
You got to figure out where like the mystery box is, and then you got to like connect certain cables so you can teleport to certain areas. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, yeah.
I just want to kill some zombies.
I can't remember which one it was that my buddies had me playing with them. I think it was either Black Ops or Black Ops 2. You're in like a farmer's field, and you have to run away from the zombies to like repower an area to like have, like you had to get the teleportation thing going by repowering this and doing this. And I was like, what, are we not supposed to just sit here and kill zombies and yeah, like live? Like, and they're like, no, you gotta do this and this. And I'm like, that, okay, I'm confused.
Yeah, I know, it's kind of jarring, you know what I mean? Like sometimes I just want to sit down and pop some heads, you know?
I just want to board up these walls and shoot people in the head when they're trying to break through.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is all this?
I do appreciate the effort they put into making them solvable. Like, but sometimes they're just so obtuse that it's nearly impossible. Like, there's one for Exo Zombies, which is the one that I know the most. You have to have a certain character get a certain gun from the 3D printer, and you have to have everyone activate this switch at once to go down this garbage chute. And you have to shoot the floor to get this key card. And you can't see it. You just have to shoot it and hope that it shows up. And you're kicked out of that room after like a minute, I think. Or the room kills you or something like that. If there was a Call of Duty Zombies game,
like,
I'd be
who
okay.
The fuck figured that out? Who was the first guy that figured that out? Because they're like,
here's the thing: those are solved remarkably fast. Like, for example, because I watch a lot of Call of Duty YouTube channels, that was solved within the first couple of hours of the Exo Zombies thing coming online. And I was surprised. Like, hell, this past weekend, actually, there was a trailer hidden in the Nuketown map for Black Ops 3. If you looked off the map with a sniper rifle, you could see there was a code on a building. And if you listened to, there's like a wall on Nuketown, or normally just shows a graphic for Nuketown. But this weekend, it was a guy saying, "We are the so-and-so defense force. We're here to kill you. We are not your friends. We are your enemy, blah, blah, blah." And then this other guy comes out and says, "You must go home to the messenger." And someone figured out that meant Facebook. So if you went to messenger, went to the Call of Duty Facebook and messaged it, you'd get a reply from a bot. And it would say, "You have to figure out the 12-digit code." So on the Nuketown map, you had to figure out all the different sections. It even got to the point where you had to look at the source code of the official Call of Duty webpage to get binary to run that through a translator. Yeah. Like, that's intense.
Did they give this, whoever figured this out, like $1 million or something?
I think.
Like, damn.
Well, it's funny because usually the
That's cool, but fuck.
Like, the big Call of Duty kind of YouTubers, I think they got something from their sponsors, but no, like literally people figure it out so fast. It really blows my mind that people can figure this out, because like I went looking for some clues on the map myself this weekend. I found something written on the inside of a slide, and looking off in the distance, I found two things. I'm thinking, okay, I'm not smart enough to figure out the rest of this, I'll just wait. And not 20 minutes later, the three big Call of Duty YouTubers like Chaos Silencer, T-Mart, and I think Drifter had it all solved. And I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, guys, how the fuck? It blows my mind. It really, really, really does.
I mean, it's cool because they, like, a lot of companies are actually doing stuff like this now. Like, remember when PT came out? Yep. And literally nobody could figure out how to beat it. People were beating it on accident, but there was clues in each version of it in the different languages that they expected the internet to come together to solve it. So it's cool that companies are doing stuff like this now. Like even League of Legends, when they post teasers for their next characters that are coming out, they always do little tiny teasers, and there's just forums of people just coming together to like piece things together and figure out what the abilities of these heroes are going to be. And it's like, you could just wait like 2 weeks and the character's going to be released. But these companies do this, and it's astounding. Like for me, I'd be like, oh, there's these convoluted hints and everything. Well, I have too much work to do. I'll go do that and let everyone else figure it out.
Yeah. Like I'm sort of on the fence. Like, okay, if I can figure this out, sure. I'll give you half an hour. Actually, one of the big things I remember being a code. Do you guys remember the movie Cloverfield?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so there was an awesome viral campaign for that movie where there were codes hidden in the trailer, on the website, and on the web in general. It got to the point where me and my friends were running codes through number decipher things. We were running satellite codes. Some of that, I was going through a website's code trying to find things. It was ridiculous. With Call of Duty, I could never solve any of that. Yet with this shit, I could. I always found that kind of funny. However, though, one thing I would like to see, as you guys mentioned, a full Call of Duty Zombies game. There is a version of that kind of.
For handheld, isn't it?
No. In Black
There's
Ops.
Zombies and Zombies 2 for... can't remember what they were for. I know they were handheld games, though.
Well, it shows in Black Ops 3, once you beat the main campaign, there's a version of the game called Nightmares, where you replay the same levels, but now everybody's zombies. And that's something I haven't had a chance to play around with. You know what's fucked up? You know how earlier in this episode I was praising a lot of the campaigns for these games because they're generally really, really, really interesting. Black Ops 3 is the only year where I gave a less of a shit about the campaign. I still haven't beaten the game yet. Yet, I looked at my stats before we came online here. I've played more than 12 days straight of Black Ops since the game came out. And that's just on my
Xbox
One.
See what this is. I can explain what this is, Dodd.
I've become you.
So when you get super, super into shooters and the multiplayer of it, so you started at like Advanced Warfare and you play the campaign, you love the campaign, and then you got into the multiplayer, and then you play the multiplayer non-fucking stop. When the next game comes out, you are like, I need to play the next multiplayer. I want to get in it. I need to get good at it. And sometimes you'll play the campaign, but the further you go into the addiction of a shooter, usually you'll get to a point where you're like, got the game, pop the disc in, click multiplayer, don't even give a shit about the single player. There's a really large portion of the shooter population that doesn't even play the single player anymore.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why, like, people that are so furious with Titanfall, they're like, there's no single player, this is stupid, blah, blah, blah. There is a large portion of the people that played that game that gave zero shits about a fucking single player.
Yeah, I think that a campaign usually is just a way for them to justify marking up the price.
Yeah.
Because I think if it's just a multiplayer experience, people would expect to have like a huge price deduction.
Well, that's what they kind of did for Black Ops 3 on the PS3 and Xbox. There is no campaign. It's strictly multiplayer. And I think it was at $49.99.
Right.
So, yeah, there is precedent for it. I mean, for example, I like having campaigns. They're fun. This year is going to be so hard because with Infinite Warfare, I want to play the multiplayer for that. But I also really want to play Advanced Warfare again. So... hell, there are people, and now because of the age of YouTube streaming and Twitch streaming, there are going to be people doing the race to the first prestige. And I know the developers sometimes will reward people who get there first. Or who gets the first.
There's always a race to the first prestige, right? That's just kind of how it works. Or the race to the max level in other shooters. Like,
congratulations.
There's always people trying to do it, right?
you have the most spare time out of any other player.
Yeah.
Or you're that goddamn good and you've melted people. Actually, I was in a game last night. This kid must have been hacked because he went on a Nuketown map. I think we were playing Hardpoint or something. I'm not entirely sure. It was like a respawn game type. He had 78-2.
Wow. That's incredible.
I'm like, oh my God. Like I actually wrote to him, like, hats off to you, sir. Good goddamn job. And people were shit talking this kid. Like, you can't do that. Like, clearly he's better than us.
You probably get a bot message like, yeah, I'm sick.
But yeah, it was just, well, I mean, it was insane.
Back when I was in my prime, I don't know if I ever got that fucking many kills to that little deaths. But I mean, it's funny whenever you do get to a level of you're just that good and you can stomp people that aren't very good. They get so angry. And they say that you're botting and flip the fuck out. And it's like, I just want to play. Like, for me, I just want to play the game. If I'm really good at a specific game, I don't brag about it. I'm usually just like, I just want to kill you. Okay? Please keep coming in that doorway. I'm camping, whatever. Fucking, if people are like, oh, you're camping, you're a bitch, whatever. It's like,
well,
it's a legitimate
works,
strategy.
Doesn't it? Exactly.
Look at my score, look at your score, etc. Like, Call of Duty was one of those series that I usually don't camp in many shooters because I prefer to get a kill and move, because most games have like a kill cam and it's like, oh, that's where you are. So I always kill and then move, kill and then move. With Call of Duty, it was always, it doesn't matter that they know you're there. You have a shotgun. They come around the corner. You're killing them. So
if you want to be the best, you have to have a balanced diet of Doritos.
Mountain Dew. That's right. And Jeff,
and you
gotta
practice your 360 no scopes for at least 2 hours every day. You know, you're never going to become a star. That's just all there is to it.
It's really funny that people like, well, they've made Mountain Dew and Doritos like the food of shooters. And every time that I've had Mountain Dew and Doritos while playing shooters, I just feel so sick.
Yeah.
Because like Mountain Dew is so sweet. It's so sweet. And then you get Doritos, which are just like, they have so much flavor to them that you're like, it's too much.
Actually, you know, that actually kind of brings up an interesting thing I've noticed about the Call of Duty community, especially when it types to esports stuff. A lot of esports teams like Optic Gaming or FaZe Clan or Mind Freak or Cloud9 or whoever, a lot of these teams are now sponsored by drink companies and food companies now. Most notably G Fuel, which is my personal favorite drink of all time now. And
are we sponsored by them?
Not yet. I'm working on it. believe me, I go through so much. It's sick. And Jerky XP, which is literally beef jerky. And it's so weird that now they're trying to shift it away from Mountain Dew and Doritos to something a little bit healthier. There was a company years ago called Gamer Grub, which tried to do the like same thing, trying to advertise to gamers, and they actually helped out. I think, what was the name of the company that Call of Duty players helped send stuff over to veterans? Operation Supply Drop or something like that.
I don't remember.
Yeah, they would try and help kind of like those guys out, or help veterans find jobs when they came back from war and stuff like that. But yeah, you'd get these companies that would try and change the mindset of the Mountain Dew Doritos eating, you know, goof sitting in front of their TV. G Fuel was marketed as a 25-calorie caffeine energy drink with no sugar. That's why I like it, because no sugar. As a diabetic, I can have it. It has as much sugar as a cup of coffee, or not much sugar, but as much caffeine as a cup of coffee. And with 25 calories, man, who gives a shit?
Does it still taste okay?
Oh, my God. Okay. Sorry, my personal endorsement right here. The G Fuel grape. Have you ever had grape freshie as a kid?
Yeah.
That's what it tastes like. It tastes like childhood. Oh, my God, it's so good. I ordered like...
It tastes like childhood.
Oh, my
anyways,
God.
Lads,
anyway.
Anyway. What I'm thinking is we get on the topic of the Infinite Warfare teaser.
Yeah, Infinite Warfare. Now, this is a game I want it to be cool. I want it to feel like Battlestar Galactica. I don't mind a little bit of advanced
they
movement.
They had a lot of that, I want to say if, maybe half, if not more, of that teaser slash trailer, whatever they're calling that one, was mostly space combat.
Yep.
Like either flying around in kind of, to use Halo terms, a saber. That's what they look like. They look like the Halo saber jets. And like it. That's kind of cool because it's new to the Call of Duty thing to be in a vehicle for a large portion of time. I don't know if that's just going to be the campaign, kind of hoping that there's space battles in multiplayer. But the other thing I noted whenever he was floating around in space, he had like a little hook thing that he shot out into a guy, pulled him to him, and then punched him in the face. I don't know if that's going to be a move you can do in multiplayer. I hope it is. Might just be a campaign thing again, though. That's one thing with Call of Duty. They do a lot of really cool moves in campaign that you can't do in the multiplayer, which pisses me off.
Yeah, there's that whole sticky gloves sort of thing. I really wish that was somehow incorporated into multiplayer. I don't know how they could have done it, but that would have been really cool.
What, you mean the one where you kind of climb on the side of the building?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did that.
They did that?
That's a playlist.
Oh, shit.
Shows what you know, motherfucker. Anyway, no. Actually, someone made a really, really good point today on Facebook, of all places. You know, it's sad when Call of Duty has space battles and Star Wars Battlefront doesn't.
Oh,
that's kind of funny.
And shots fired. Lasers fired.
I hope they tagged like Battlefront and Star Wars. And
like, that's just
a big conversation going.
Like, I don't know. I mean, I think this year Infinity Ward's going to have a very interesting, I wouldn't say problem on their hands, because I've also seen this pop up on Facebook where it shows Infinite Warfare and it shows Call of Duty 4 remastered. It shows Infinite Warfare going in the trash and it shows everyone playing Modern Warfare remastered. And like we discussed early on in the episode, they're talking how you can't buy it separately. It's only going to be available in the Legacy Edition. That's going to have a full campaign mode, 10 multiplayer maps, and dedicated servers.
Those sneaky bastards.
So I kind of wonder.
This is all a marketing technique. You both know this. It's going to be, it's only in the legacy thing, and then a couple months after they've done that, they're going to be like, oh, we're releasing it separately because they want everyone to buy the legacy version because they know everyone wants to play Modern Warfare.
But here's the problem, though. If you do that, you're going to hurt the esports scene because there might be a couple of throwback tournaments. But Activision and basically esports in general, they're going to focus on Infinite Warfare's competitive scene. Now, is there going to be a competitive scene with it this year? I'm going to say likely. But as for COD 4, they're not going to have a competitive league for an older game, so to speak, like that. You might see.
Depends on how the remaster works, right? Like they might do it.
Yeah, but you're not going to see like the Call of Duty World League for Modern Warfare. You're only going to see it for Infinite Warfare. Like I said, you might see this at LANs and stuff like that, but you're not going to see it on the big stage being broadcast as well as, say, Black Ops 3 is right now, because we're into Season 2 right now before the COD Championships opens up this summer right now. Because I think, yeah, Season 1 just ended like 2 or 3 weeks ago, so they're 2 or 3 weeks into Season 2. I think the season's like 8 weeks long, I want to say, something like that, maybe 12.
Well, I still have to kind of disagree with you, mostly because when it comes to the esports scene, they take whatever game is most current but has the best mechanics for tournament play. So if Infinite Warfare ends up having worse mechanics than Modern Warfare Remastered, they could choose Modern Warfare Remastered because they're out at the same time. So it really comes down to whichever one is better for the tournament scene. What is balanced better? Which one is...
Oh, Infinite, though, because they will balance it. If you go back and play Modern Warfare, how many assholes had 3 frag grenades and martyred them? You couldn't kill anybody without dying next to them. Now, ultimately, you could do a ban and protect on that and just have it banned straight up. But then again, you're changing the core gameplay then. Infinite Warfare.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Are they planning on changing the actual gameplay to be more current, or are they just leaving it full on? It's just we're doing a graphical upgrade.
I don't think a lot of details have been released. I know some of the pros that I follow want them to add in things like, we need a flak jacket perk, we need this gun pre-nerf, stuff like that. So,
bring back Commando!
Yeah. Or people, or let's say they do Modern Warfare 2 remastered, which is inevitably going to be the next thing that happens. Imagine people just getting one-man army noob tubes. That's all it's going to be. Just noob tubes the entire time. Or grenades. So, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, that's what it was back in the day.
Yeah, but that's not interesting to watch on a competitive stage with like Infinite Warfare. I imagine they'll take a very similar approach to kind of Black Ops. Now, depending on how their class system is set up, is it pick 10? Is it pick 13? Pick 13 was probably a little too much, all things considered. Now, I finally see that now after playing Black Ops for like 6 months straight. You're going to see what are the crutch perks, what are the crutch guns, what is OP, etc. So I imagine Infinite Warfare will get the big push. Is there going to be $1 million tournament around it? I don't know. I would imagine so again.
Did they include what the price is going to be for the Legacy Edition?
Yes. Actually, the big leak that like everybody has seen was based on a Canadian retail poster. So if you want the Legacy Edition, it'll cost you $109.99, which for the U.S. would be like $99. So that's not a huge deal, all things considered, because the retail edition will run you about $70 anyway. And considering you're getting a full game remastered, that's not
like
a terrible price.
$30 for a remastered game. I mean, depending on what. You said there's going to be dedicated servers for it as well.
Yes.
So that's surprisingly a good price for two new games, especially when it's Activision.
Yeah. Now, a lot of people were hoping they'd take the Master Chief approach and give us Modern Warfare 1, 2, 3 remastered like that. No, they're actually probably playing it smart and only giving
them
just
one
at
a
time. Which I think will be kind of cool. I'm waiting for World at War remastered, mostly because of the flamethrower, and it was really, really, really fun.
I'm not a huge fan of the whole remastered trend that's going on.
It depends on the game, I think. Like, for example, The Last of Us remastered was a better game on the PlayStation 4 than it was on the PlayStation 3. Only because they added.
I hated the idea behind that because it was like that game literally came out like a year, maybe 2 years before the remaster. And it was like, really? Like, that's where, like Cameron said, I don't like this remaster trend because it's even in 2 years you remaster something.
Yeah, it's like, it got critical acclaim, but it's like, slow your roll.
Well, I could see it because of hardware differences, because PlayStation really shot themselves in the foot by not allowing backwards compatibility because it's an architecture issue. Whereas opposed,
yeah, but there was no reason to call it a remaster. They could have just been like, yeah, it's for this console and it's got better graphics. You just say it's like within that amount of time, it's not really a remaster. Like, okay, technically it is a remaster, but marketing wise, why call it a remaster? It's literally just a port of the game in the current graphics. I'm not really making my point because I'm literally explaining what remaster means, but do you get my point?
Yes.
Cameron does. All right.
Smiling and nodding. But yeah, like, see, I don't see a problem with that. Just because, like I said, it's a big hardware difference. Plus, now that the 360 and the PS3... Actually, I don't think the PS3 has been officially discontinued yet. Now that the Xbox
is done...
The PS2
just got discontinued, so...
Yeah, so it'll be around for probably at least another 2 or 3 years anyway. Like,
does anyone find it kind of funny that the PS2 got discontinued and then like a month later or maybe 2 months, I'm not sure the exact timeline, the Xbox 360 got discontinued? Like, that PS2 lasted a long fucking time.
It's, like one of the most, it's the most successful console ever.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great thing to have up at a cottage or pretty much anywhere you want to take a gaming console. Plus, the games are so easy to find. But yeah, it's like, I can see why they're doing it, because they want to not split hardware generations now. They want everybody playing on the same level. Although Xbox is falling way behind PS4. I think something like 3-1. So, I don't know. I mean, certain remasters I'm cool with. Like, I was okay with the Master Chief Collection when it worked. Although I still wish they had
Reach. It never worked?
It
worked? What?
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't have Reach.
I don't know. Yet they gave us ODST. It would make sense to give them to give us more Reach, but I guess they want it to be set in the same story, but anyway. I guess... Oh, I wanted to talk about supply drops and everything here. And we've talked about this
because you've spent insurmountable amounts of money on them?
Absolutely. and one person has made a really good point about this, too, where it's a value you're paying for a year. Whereas with a game like, say, League of Legends, that money you've spent stays with the game, because that's a game that's meant just to be built upon. Like, you go out there, you buy your new heroes or champions or whatever. Cool. Yet with Call of Duty, I can't bring my Battle 27 from Advanced Warfare over into, say, Infinite Warfare, which is a game 2 years removed. And I spent a lot on supply drops. And some people are even calling it a form of gambling, because you're not always guaranteed to get something good. You're basically paying for a chance. And that's really bad in Black Ops 3 right now, because somebody has cracked the math on Reddit or the Dear Kirsten forums or something like that, to where if you want to get one of the new weapons, be it the crossbow, the MX Garand, the baseball bat, the brass knuckles, whatever, you're paying a 1% chance to get it in your supply drop. Normally you get a camo, a reticle, or a calling card. If you buy a rare one for $1.99, you're guaranteed one rare, and that's it, and a slightly higher chance for other things.
I think the question here is, can you earn these weapons through play?
Yes, you can earn them via crypto keys, which 10 crypto keys will earn you one common supply drop, 30 will earn you one rare supply drop. You earn about anywhere between three, you can earn between 1 and 5 per game, give or take. You can probably earn more if you're really, really, really good and you want to really kind of grind it out. Plus, they do offer 2x crypto key kind of weekends, etc. There's always sales and stuff like that.
And these aren't skins, they're straight up the weapons.
There are skins too, but there are weapons which change stats. That's what a lot of people had a problem with Advanced Warfare, because the supply drop weapons were better than the ones that were in the game.
I like how Halo did it, where it was like, okay, you can buy these packs, you can end up getting armor and stuff to look cooler, but it did not affect the actual gameplay.
Pay-to-play is like the bane of shooter games, in my opinion. That's why I hate Blacklight Retribution. I hate Blacklight Retribution for that reason. Everybody just purchases really overpowered weapons, and it just ruins the experience for everybody else who just plays the game vanilla.
Yeah, like it's ridiculous, because for Advanced Warfare, everybody wanted the BAL 27 Obsidian Steed, which was a gun that did a lot more damage compared to the ordinary BAL or the ASM-1 Speakeasy, stuff like that. Whereas in Black Ops 3, they openly said at the beginning of the development for that game and going into the first couple months of that game, we're going to offer supply drops, but they're going to be for cosmetic only. And then you start getting stuff like the butterfly knife, the brass knuckles, which is admittedly just a skin for the combat knife. And then you started getting stuff like the crossbow, which is a brand new weapon, which actually changes stats. Then there's a new gun called the MX Garand, which is a throwback weapon. And there's the MP40. Once again, new guns, new kind of stats. People got pissed.
We've talked about this kind of stuff in previous episodes about just how that, like, pay to win is dirty.
Yeah, it sucks.
And, like, that turns so many people off of the games. I'm actually surprised they've gone that far in Call of Duty. Like you said, you spend all that money and a new game's going to come out next year. Like, well, and then you have to pay that again, and then you're going to be buying more packs for that game. Like, that's
ridiculous.
Stupid.
Oh yeah, and honestly, like, when you crack the math, Jamie, get this: for you to get a gun, to get one of the brand new guns, which there are like four of them, right? Guess how much it breaks down to, approximately.
Probably at least $100.
About $81 for one gun. You are more likely to get the kind of melee weapons. You're more likely to get all these common skins. I've bought probably more than I want to admit on supply drops. I have gotten one of the new guns. It is the shittiest one, unfortunately, because I'm a shitty sniper, and this is like the worst sniper rifle. Yet I've gotten almost all the melee weapons.
Admittedly, it's a smart way to make money because people are going to buy those packs, but it is the sleaziest way to make money. And
that's really straight out of Candy Crush-esque.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, like that.
There are entire
that's something
YouTube
that
channels.
You don't want to see in our industry. Like, it's going to eventually kill the industry if this shit kind of, like, if this keeps up.
Well, yeah, because there are entire YouTube channels dedicated to supply drop openings. And that's where the whole black market blackout thing is trying to come from. There's a bunch of YouTubers trying to convince Treyarch, Vondahar, and Activision as a whole, quit screwing us over. Give us the ability to either purchase these weapons or make the odds a little bit better. You're basically encouraging gambling because when you think about it, the average player who's probably playing Black Ops is probably like 15, 16 years old. You're basically, when you enter, say, you're like PayPal or your parents' credit card or whatever, it's basically gambling.
Yeah,
when you really bring it
down. It's like
which at that age is illegal.
CSGO.
Yeah, so.
You do that too.
Like, I don't like how they've got it set up. I liked how in Ghosts or Black Ops 2, there were guns you could buy. They weren't OP. They were just different. They looked a little bit different. Maybe the stats were a little bit different, but they weren't game changers, so to speak. Like, for example, in Black Ops 3, I really want the crossbow. The crossbow kind of sucks. I want it because it looks cool. It's a one-hit kill, but it's going to take me forever to get it up to the point where it's going to be actually a viable weapon.
See, I'm always okay with a game company being like, hey, here's skins. You have to pay for them, though, because we put in extra effort outside of the game. And we're like, hey, these are cool. You might want them. Maybe it's your favorite weapon, armor types, whatever. Pay for that stuff. Here's an option to get it in the game as well. Those are the ones I like the most. But as soon as you're doing pay to win in a competitive game that is actually in esports, our industry has just hit a new low. And that's not cool because unless as the consumers at our age, we're going to realize this is stupid. We shouldn't do it. I mean, Dodd, you've spent money on it. That sucks. You've realized your mistake. But as you said, even though it's an M-rated game, which even then, M-rated is only 16 here in Canada. So that means gambling is at 18. Well, even then. Okay, 1 year at least of kids that are illegally gambling, technically. That is technically gambling. If you are paying for something to get something in return randomly, it's gambling.
Yeah, it's like playing slot machine.
Yeah, and it totally sucks. I mean, now I can see the other side of the argument for this, too. Another YouTuber that I'm a big fan of named CostDef framed it like this. Okay, I don't have all the time to grind out crypto keys to buy supply drops. I'd rather spend my money now, get a chance at it, and have fun that way. I also see that, too. But
yeah, but
it is.
It would
still
make sense
dirty.
If it was skins.
Yeah.
If you're having to pay to get weapons that are better than other weapons to be able to compete in the current meta, that is in basically in your mind, subconsciously, you're going, I need to either play a lot or pay because I can't play just to be able to keep up with other people.
Yeah, and by that same logic, dumb. You could just say, I just purchased 65 plus levels for a certain price. I don't have the time to grind out actually playing against people online, but I'd like to be able to reap the benefits of reaching level 65 right now.
Well, okay, let's look at a different game that has done this recently. Destiny. Destiny, you could pay, I think it's like $20, you're automatically level 25. You're still not competitive with everybody else, but now you essentially don't have to beat the campaign and grind it out.
That's stupidity.
When you purchase a game like World of Warcraft now, you're brought up to the current level, which is, I'm not even sure what that is now. But you don't start at a pathetic level one.
Like, why purchase the game if you don't want to put time into it?
Well, for example...
Well, the option is generally that, like, for these MMOs that you've pulled out, it's usually there for the people that have already played the game and they either lost their account, deleted the character, and they're just like... Or they're playing another character of a different class, and they're like, I already know all of the story up to the point. I want to be able to pay to just get there. I can understand that because I have done that. Like, I haven't paid for it, but I've had to re-grind out different characters that I've already played through everything. And that is a lot of time that you're like, I really don't want to do this. I just want this other class to be up to being able to play in the competitive area. That I can understand, but when it comes to, like, if you're a new person, I pay for a game, and then I can pay on top of that to just automatically be at the end of the game? Why? Why would they give you that option? It's fucking stupid. You're not playing the game then. You're literally just like, ah, I'm just going to bypass the game. Fuck it. I'm paying to pay... Paying to buy a game to pay to not play the game. What?
But once again, crazy? Some people don't always have time. I always don't. So I'm okay with paying out a little bit of money to catch up. But I also don't want to pay to win either.
Yeah, but see, in most of the cases where we all agree that it's okay, it's not paying to win. It's
I don't agree with it either way, personally.
Okay, well, in the cases where it's like, okay, I'm skipping to the end game, okay, I can understand that for the reasons that I just said. I don't entirely think it's a great idea because it's kind of choking out the life of that game. But when it comes to actual pay to win, like if League of Legends was like, you can pay for an additional item to be in the game that is stronger than the items that are in the game, or you can pay for a random roll to get that item. Fuck no. That's literally fucking with the balance of the competitive part of the game. And Call of Duty is in esports. If you can fucking pay to have a chance to get a gun that is going to make you better than the other people that are of the same skill level as you, that is fucking retarded.
But at the same time, if you're playing in a competitive sense, there are rules, there are bans, there are protects saying you can't use X gun. But in public matches, it can turn a lot of the community off. Because if someone has this OP gun and it's a pub match, there's nothing you can do about it.
That's what I'm getting at. Like, when it comes to actual esports, like, I'm talking in the competitive casual scene. Yeah. In the esports scene, generally at tournaments and stuff, if there's weapons that you can unlock, they put in a code and they unlock everything for the tournament.
Yeah.
That's just how most of those games work. Or, like, because they always want an even playing field in esports. They have to. That's just how you do esports. But it ruins the fun of the casual game. Think how, like, you're saying you don't have time for things. Say you didn't have the money to be putting out to pay for these boxes. You go into a match and somebody has this fucking thing that they've just paid for, and it means they kill you before you can even shoot them. Like, pretend it's just a fucking hack. They're paying for a hack that automatically shoots you in the head.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I see this as. It's fucking dumb. I don't even know, like, we've gone on a random tangent about this. And we've done this before, the same fucking subject in like 6 different episodes.
Passion
how stupid
slide.
It is.
Well,
anyway,
yeah, we should probably wrap this up. So I guess Call of Duty, it's a franchise I like. I really like the collector's editions because I've bought every single one, every single Prestige Edition since Call of Duty.
Advanced I can vouch Warfare I've 2. Seen them.
Although I'm building my Prestige Edition for Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, I'm missing part of the head for the goggles, and I'm missing the statue from the Hardened Edition. But I'm working on it. But I have the remote control car. I've got the drone. I've got the video camera. I've got the refrigerator, which keeps my drinks cold, which is rather nice. Which started off an awesome war on my Facebook like 6 months ago. That was a great day. Anyway. So, yeah.
Hey Cameron, can you hear that? It's his collector's ego inflating.
Well, I don't know. Call of Duty is the one franchise where, with the Prestige Editions, I very rarely feel like I got screwed. Yeah, sometimes they're really, really gimmicky and kind of dumb, but I really like them. The last collector's edition of a game that I bought was, or I got for my birthday, rather, was Halo 5 Guardians. The statue's cool, but you can now get that for $100. I don't want to know how much Blair paid for that. Let's just say it was rather fucking expensive.
Yeah, like, I guess I can agree with you, but a lot of the Call of Duty higher editions with all these cool gadgets and stuff, they're usually priced pretty well compared to other companies' games. I find collector's editions are just getting a little outrageous. I didn't even look at the Gears of War 4 collector's edition because I was like, it's probably just going to have something stupid.
I think it's a motorcycle or something. It's like an action figure.
Oh,
it's not as cool.
Like, oh yeah, they send you a motorcycle. I'll be like, fuck, I'm going to go order that now.
It's not as cool as I was hoping it would be, which is kind of unfortunate, but it is what it is. But anyways, that's pretty much going to do it for this edition of the Prototype. Like I said, we are back now, regular schedule. Now that we have Cameron here to keep us, it might be me and Cameron, could be Cameron and Jamie, could be all three of us. We don't know. But the next time on the show, we're going to talk about Marvel games, because if you guys are going to be going to the theater this coming weekend, Marvel's Captain America Civil War hits. And are you Team Cap or Team Iron Man? Let us know. You can email us feedback@thisweekingeek.net or call the voicemail line at 817-717-7202. We do want to hear from you. We also have the Facebook page, which is linked in the episode description below. There's also Jamie just streaming all the time now. I'm streaming not as often, but I'm hopefully going to get back into it because I got Uncharted 4 today, so I should probably start playing that. Because it's fun.
We all have our Twitters. They'll be in the thingy.
And Cameron, you still write for VGS?
Not as often as I would have liked to, but I edit a lot of people's work now.
Yeah, Cameron makes sure I don't write IR derpy hooves every other sentence when you read my work over there. So be sure to be looking out for that. You can hear VGS Sundays on the Chorus Radio Network at 7 p.m. on Toronto's AM 640, but I also think Edge 102.1 and many other radio stations. You can find it real easy. Just trust me. Just look. 9 times out of 10, it's worth it when we're there. Otherwise, whatever. Anyway, I say that, throwing them right under the bus. So for the Prototype, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd.
I've been Cameron Allen.
And I've been Jamie Johnston. And let's just say, hey, G Fuel, if you're listening, we could use some more sponsors.
360 no scope! Bitch!
Wanna see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my god, there's snot on my face! And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub, and I'm not a joined. Not a joined. What the f does that mean? F that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh god.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
okay, I'm good, Geico.
Holy shit! Oh my gosh! Freak! Die! Holy crap! Whoa! Whoa, my god, whoa! Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well as subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by at replying to at thisweekingeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at pronobozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And now, a thought from Geico Motorcycle.
It took 15 minutes to take a spirit animal quiz online.
Please be the cheetah. Please be the cheetah.
And learn your animal isn't the cheetah, but the far less appealing blobfish.
Oh, come on.
To add insult to injury, you could have used those 15 blobfish minutes to switch your motorcycle insurance to Geico.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on motorcycle insurance.